This is the Progressive Radio Network.
Sitter on ya bisha ola ideva idevene sempre pa calare dal mane bene. Se ci picchia vande se è pa calare picchia me.
Oh mamma, la 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 la. Oh mamma, zoom pa calare. And the baccarat was flying on Monday. Main event, the presidential reality show. But of course, no surprise to PRN listeners and subscribers to the Trends Journal. Here's what we wrote in our spring edition on the presidential reality show. While polls will fluctuate and general interest will wane through the summer months, again, I'm sorry, this is the summer edition of the Trends Journal. Unlike any election in modern American history, even greater than the 1960 Nixon-Kennedy debates, we forecast that the race will be won or lost when the two candidates face off in the main event, the presidential reality show debates. This made-for-TV spectacle featuring two of the most untrustworthy, highly disliked candidates in American history. And voila, here we are. And that's what it is. And that's what it was. Of course, there's been so much commentary on that. I'm not going to talk much about that at all, because there are much more important things to talk about in terms of information that's different than you're receiving from the mainstream media or other analysts, because of, as political atheists, we look at things for the way they are and not the way they want them to be. So when you listen to many of the so-called progressive and liberal networks, and I don't mean progressive radio network, but the other ones that claim to be progressive but have an agenda, we don't, as political atheists. We look at the world for what it is, and of course not the way we want it to be. And so as we look at this debate the other day, it was about the winners and losers, but nothing about the facts and the solutions, because none were provided. It was just a mudslinging contest and no really deep thought or analysis on what needs to be done to solve problems. And again, as you well know, I'm not voting for either of them. The two things that I agreed with Trump. And one was that he wouldn't use the first nuclear strike. You know, bravo for that. And Hillary avoided the question, never answered it. And the second one, that he said that this was a bubble. The economy was a bubble. And he's 100% right. You know, many of us see that. It's a false economy that's been pumped up by record low interest rates that are war against we the little people, because we have no place to put our money if we have any savings at all, because there's no way to get interest, so they force you to speculate or gamble in the equity markets. So those are two things that he said, of course, that I agreed with. Most of everything else, you know, what are you kidding me? Yeah. Again, I'm not going to go into the details of it, you know, stop and frisk and all that kind of, you know, anti-freedom maneuvers that he likes so much. And again, Hitler was just, you know, all this campaign, all this thing was, you know, repeating well-prepared one-liners so that they could pretend that they knew what they were talking about. On a much more important note about it, in terms of how it's affecting I shouldn't say more important, but on another note about it, as you know, we look at the consequences of what's happened. The markets reacted. So here's a headline, for example, from today's Financial Times. Markets see Clinton as debate victor. Currency markets joined most pundits in indicating that they believed the Democratic candidate had won, driving up the Mexican peso. The peso has been moved with Trump's performance, falling when the Republican does well. In the polls, Mr. Trump claimed the debate went better than expected, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, the headline being, markets see Clinton as debate victor. Then you go to CNBC, and the headline yesterday after the markets closed was U.S. stocks closed sharply lower as all eyes turned to debate financials lag. I'm sorry, this was Monday in preparation for the debate. In preparation for the debate, across the business media spectrum, all the market experts claim that a positive financial future hinged upon a Clinton victory. So they all were parroting the same economic gospel. So remember, this is before the debate. This is Monday afternoon. The markets close 4 o'clock. The debate is at 9 p.m. So that was the headline. U.S. stocks close sharply lower as all eyes turn to debate. Now remember, I just read to you today's Financial Times, the markets went up because Clinton was seen as a debate victor. So here's what they wrote in the CNBC when the markets closed on Monday. U.S. equities closed sharply lower on Monday, while financial and healthcare lagging, as market watchers kept a close eye on key OPEC meeting and looked ahead to a U.S. presidential debate. Quote, the market is basically priced in a Hillary Clinton victory, said Randy Warren, chief investment officer at Warren Financial Services. Quote, if it's a big victory for Hillary, then no one will watch the next two debates, and the market is going to go back to business. If it's a big victory for Trump, then no one will watch the next two debates, and everyone is going to be freaking out. End quote. Investors are waiting to see what happens at the presidential debate, said Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at First Standard Financial, CNBC, 26 September 2016. So Tuesday, yesterday, when the Dow regained most of what it lost on Monday, this is what CNBC, the business network, contributors said. They attributed the rise in the Dow to Clinton beating Trump. Quote, it looks like Hillary Clinton earned the market's vote, said James Abbate, chief investment officer at Center Fund, adding she is going to be good for the status quo, end quote. Ah, yes, good for the status quo. Isn't that terrific, huh? Just what we need. More of the status quo. Steal our money, give it to their friends, call it too big to fail, bailouts, loan guarantees, special deals, tax breaks. Wonderful. So, that's why the markets went up. Because they believe that who gets elected president will affect the economy. We totally disagree. I have to say that in listening to the commentaries, listening to people, talking to friends, acquaintances, and strangers, the two candidates at this point truly represent a majority of Americans. Ill-informed, lack of passion and courage, devoid of beauty or the desire of beauty and grace. How many people have I heard say they can't stand Trump and that's why they're voting for Clinton? Yeah, you dislike Hitler. How about Mussolini? That's how low the bar has sunk. So the debates and the candidates and the commentary truly do reflect where America is as a nation as a whole and where it's heading. So in going back to all of this talk about how the presidential elections will affect the economy, and we say it won't, here's why. Let's peer into the real world. I know the Kardashians are important and, you know, that there's trouble going on with some of the divorces, you know, and this one and that one, and that's big news in the entertainment world. But in trend forecasting, we observe three worlds: the political world, the media world, and the real world. And I'm going back to the headlines, such as today's Financial Times. This is, you know, the top financial newspaper in the world, in the Western world. Markets see Clinton as debate victor. It doesn't make a difference who won the debate. It makes very little difference to the global economy. And here's why. As I said, in trend forecasting, we observe three worlds: the political world, the media world, and the real world. In the real world, comprising some 95% of the planet's population, the U.S. presidential reality show spectacle of the Clinton and Trump, these two contestants that were just mudslinging insults at each other, spouting prepared one-liners, and providing absolutely no in-depth solutions to complex problems, to the rest of the world, the 95%, the elections will mean little or next to nothing to their economies. Because here's the deal. Tune in the news. The United States remains addicted to this reality show performance on Monday night. In the meantime, a European banking crisis is brewing. I've talked about what's going on in Italy with Monte dei Paschi, the oldest bank in the world left, the troubles they're in, bail-ins they're calling it, a lot of the bonds that have been bought, and they suckered the people into buying them thinking that they would be protected, went mostly to retail investors, small people trying to make some money. And now they have what they call bail-ins, which means that you lose your money. So that bank, and just the Italian banks in general, have about $350 billion in bad loans. Again, let's tie in directly to the presidential reality show, what's going on, and compare it to the statements that are being made that whoever wins the election will be negative or positive for the economy, and what's going on in the real world. So, for example, yesterday, as the markets in the United States regained most of what was lost on Monday, this little bank out there called Deutsche Bank. Yeah, little. Its shares plunged to 1980 lows. They're down about almost 60% on the year. I mentioned Monte dei Paschi. It's selling for pennies, the stock. way down from its highs. Not even close. Commerce Bank, very big bank, German bank, they announced it's cutting 9,000 jobs, and they're scrapping 2016 dividends. This is yesterday. Yesterday, as the prostitute media in the United States talks about who won or lost the presidential reality show debate. Not what was said in the debate of importance to we the people on how it's going to affect our lives in the future. No, just the performance of the two reality show contestants. A performance. Trump is Trump. As we would say in Italian, he's a caffone. A narcissistic braggadocio clown. And Hitler is who she is. A psychopath, sociopath, that will do and say anything to get what she wants. A woman, the color red was perfect for her to wear. Because the blood on her hands and her husband's hands could fill an ocean. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about nothing. Let's talk about their performance and her fake smile. Forgetting that she was instrumental along with Susan Rice and Samantha Powers or bragging about bringing down Gaddafi. The war in Libya, the war in Syria, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, her husband's wars in Yugoslavia, her husband's slaughtering of people right after he got elected, bombs away over Baghdad. People forgot this. His no-fly zones. And his sanctions on Iraq that killed over 500,000 Iraqi children, to which Madeleine Albright said the price of sanctions was worth it. Yeah, that Hillary Clinton dressed in red, man. Yeah, that North Korean red. She could fit right in there, boy. Maybe she's running for the empress of the wrong country. Maybe she should take over there because her red was perfect, man. Blood-soaked red, but we won't talk about that. We'll just talk about the performance of the two contestants on the presidential reality show. And again, why it won't make any difference. It means nothing, or next to nothing, I should say, to the economies among the 95% of the planet's population outside the United States. I mentioned about Deutsche Bank yesterday. Well, yesterday, another little note, but I'll say this quietly so nobody hears it. The World Trade Organization, yeah, it sharply reduced its 2016 forecast for global trade volume. It brought it down to 1.7%. That's the slowest increase since the panic of 08. World trade. Yeah. Oh, also yesterday, further dampening the global economic outlook. But why talk globally? Hey, we're the exceptionals. We have the exceptional clowns, lowlifes, freaks, and frauds fronting for us in the presidential reality show. So we'll just stay stupid and only look at what's going on in America because we can't look what's going on outside. But, of course, you tuned in to Progressive Radio Network, so we're going to take a look outside. The International Monetary Fund yesterday, again, I'm just talking about yesterday, World Trade Organization, Deutsche Bank, Commerce Bank, World Trade Organization, International Monetary Fund yesterday warned that advanced nations risked falling into a deflation trap, triggered by, quote, the broad-based phenomenon fed by slumping commodity prices and weak global demand. Deflation. You know what they're talking about? Once you get past the BS language that they cover it up with, they're talking about too much product in the marketplace and not enough buyers to buy it. Hey, even the dollar stores are having trouble here in the land of the exceptionals. You know, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as a dollar store. They had five and dime stores, but very different. You know, they were what they were, and you went there to get what you got. No, and they were fun to eat at, too. Woolworths and Grant's. Yeah, they were great. As a kid, loved hanging out there. And then, of course, then later on, they had a John's Bargain Store in New York. Didn't last very long. Now there are dollar stores, and there are Walmarts, and Sam's Clubs. Middle class is shot. It's all down to the bottom. Because the wealth has been aggregated in the hands of the few. And Hillary Clinton is the emblem of that. Again, hey, all you liberals out there that are going to vote for Hillary, yeah, you know, her ties to Goldman Sachs. I know that doesn't really faze anybody, being that under Bill Clinton, they deregulated the Glass-Steagall Act that prevented banks, commercial banks becoming, quote, investment banks, gamblers, and allowed that derivative scandal to happen. And that's why they get paid $250,000 to $300,000 an hour to BS when you can hear them BS for free. That's what Goldman Sachs pays them. It's payback. But anyway, how about those GMOs? Nobody's talking about that, huh? Yeah, the Clintons gave us those. Yeah, but I guess you like those bovine growth hormones so those cows can really put out that milk and cheese, huh? And make cheese from it. Yeah, great bovine growth hormones. Carbon taxes. Yeah, so they can make money on this deal rather than saying just cut back on the carbons. And Al Gore made a ton of dough on that one, didn't he? Or is it Al Hoare? Where are you liberals? Lockjaw about GMOs and all the atrocities committed by the Clintons. So anyway, going back to why this economy, on a global sense, won't be affected by the presidential election. Again, it's a global economy. 95% of the world is not America. So I told you what the IMF said yesterday, what the World Trade Organization said yesterday, what Deutsche Bank shares plunged to 1980s lows yesterday, Commerce Bank announcing 9,000 cuts yesterday, no dividends for 2016. Well, on Monday, the other fraud in chief out there, Mario Draghi, former head of the European division of the Goldman Sachs gang, and now, of course, president of the European Central Bank, admitted that the European Central Bank's action was, quote, not enough for delivering real and sustainable growth in the long term. Oh, wow. This is the liar, this arrogant clown of a boy that kept shooting off his mouth that by robbing the people and giving them negative interest rates so the gamblers could gamble and the merger and acquisition activity could increase would boost the general economy, the Eurozone. Oh, it did a great job. Yeah, for the first half of the year, the Eurozone's GDP is zooming along at 0.4% for the first half of the year. And you know what they're all recommending? Get ready for this because it's going to cost us all more money. And it's going to enrich the guys that give them campaign contributions, or as adults call it, bribes and payoffs. That's right, government fiscal stimulus. Stealing our money under the name that they're going to create jobs or building the infrastructure. We could build the infrastructure for free. How? Elect me, I'll tell you how. And I'll create jobs. Millions of them. Well, not quite. Yes, a million jobs I'll create. Won't have to pay a penny more than you're paying now. And I will rebuild America's infrastructure. As Donald Trump rightly pointed out, when you fly around the world and you come home, you land at LaGuardia, or JFK, it's like and taking you drive down to Van Wyck, coming back, you look at the Parkways, Grand Central, what a disgusting spectacle, garbage everywhere. Every country has trains coming in and out of their airports, except the USSA, because you got to keep their taxis going, you know. Anyway, I'll build it for, don't have to spend another dime. How? Very simple. Occupy peace. Yeah. Close all the military bases overseas. Stop bombing other countries into oblivion. And then stealing our money to rebuild them, as they did in Afghanistan. Giving it to their buddies who give them payoffs. Oh, excuse me. Mr. Salenti, you have to be proper. And remember, you have to not raise your voice or be angry. You have to speak in proper terms so that we could shaft it to you really nicely. And it goes in sweet and it comes out like crap because that's what we feed you. But say it properly so that people could buy it. The United States spent more money, we did, we the stupid little people that lack courage for the most part, not people listening to Progressive Radio Network, of course, those other people out there that won't admit they're getting shafted, spent more money rebuilding Afghanistan after we the people bombed it and destroyed it, than the United States spent to rebuild Europe after the Marshall Plan, with the Marshall Plan. That's right. Adjusted for inflation, we spent more money rebuilding Afghanistan. So going back to how, if you elect me, I'll rebuild the nation's infrastructure for free, put our troops to work rebuilding our rotted infrastructure. A WPA program for the Pentagon. Rather than going overseas and bragging about the American sniper who's slaughtering people in an occupied country, put them to work rebuilding our rotted infrastructure. Lower your voice, Mr. Salenti. We have wars to fight and people to kill. Hey, how about Hillary? Oh, yeah, she had a plan, right? That's right. Go back to the debates. Debates. It's not a debate. It's a freak show. It's a low-life freak show. Debates. Yeah, Lincoln Douglas would be proud of that one, wouldn't they? Huh. Anyway, go back to the debates. And what do you get? Nothing. Zero. Nada. No solutions. All they talked about, the presidential debates, were war plans. All it was attack lines, one after the other. Yep. Hillary Clinton, without substantiating this thing about the Russia going into the Democratic National Convention, the committee's emails, she repeated the claim, never substantiated, that Putin was responsible for hacking the emails. Yeah, Putin was doing it. You know, this one of the things he loves to do at night is play on the anyway. So in response to the alleged cyber attacks, she said, "We're not going to sit idly by. We're going to have to make it clear that we don't want to use the kinds of tools that we have. We don't want to engage in a different kind of warfare. But we will defend the citizens of this country. And the Russians need to understand that. Ah, if only a woman was in charge. I never want to hear that again. I never want to hear that phony line again, Madeleine Albright, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, Condoleezza Rice, Margaret Thatcher, Indira Gandhi. We could go up and down the list. Slime and lowlife comes in all genders, races, creeds, and colors. Save it." She's a war hawk. Again, that red dress fit her perfectly with all the blood on her hands. Yep. And the Russians need to understand that. Besides, you know, the war with Russia, she also called up, let's step up that military operations in the Middle East. And more airstrikes on ISIS. We've got to wipe out that ISIS. And, of course, more drone strikes. Yeah. They're terrific. Extrajudicial killings against international law. But it's okay. So what's she going to do? She's going to target that ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And that killing should be, quote, one of our organizing principles, she said. Isn't that something? That should be one of our organizing principles. Hey, you love the Gaddafi murder? Of course she did. I'm not making that up. Again, go to YouTube. Google it in. Hillary Clinton, CBS, Gaddafi, Madam Secretary of State, how did you feel when you found out that Gaddafi was murdered? Yeah, murdered. Yeah. Yep. Slaughtered on film, sodomized with a sword. Yeah. We came, we saw, he died. Yep. Hey, you liberals, yeah. Don't forget to vote. I'm voting for Clinton. And of course, Trump, you know, he was bombastic in his threats to military action in the Middle East. Same thing, different lines. But I have to say, he's less aggressive than Hillary when it comes to Russia, and he's condemned for that. But again, another poof. But again, as I said, the one thing about Trump said that he would not do a first strike, a nuclear strike, but then said, I can't take anything off the table. And Clinton pointedly did not reply to that, whether or not she'd do a first strike. Of course she would. Look at her. Track record. Speaks for itself. Yep. So again, as I mentioned to you, when I read to you some of that, those quotes from CNBC, why the markets were happy when Hillary Clinton won, it said, as James Abate, chief investment officer at Center Fund, she's going to be good for the status quo. And that's exactly what she is. Keep the same thing going. So the 2000 election campaign is, it's not over. I just want to make this very, very clear. It's not over. First of all, we don't have a two-party system. It's a duopoly. It's a monopoly. It's run by the same club that's been stealing our money and killing people all over the world for different reasons under the same banner. Hey, what happened to Bernie Sanders? Didn't Bernie Sanders say that he's in Akron and on, that Hillary Clinton is the most progressive? This is the most progressive policy yet of the Democrats? Yeah, she proved it at these debates, not a debate, the presidential reality show. But again, there's no change in place. And I'm mentioning that it's not over because there are still wild cards to be played. And the wild card being Julian Assange, deep dislike for Hillary Clinton for basically the same reason I dislike her. I would say she disgusts me because of a murderous track record. I don't like murderers, all right? Tune out. That damn Salenti doesn't like murderers. He's against people killing innocent people. What a jerk he is. He goes on to launch Occupy Peace, puts his money where his mouth is, where Clinton puts her money where her mouth, where her heart is. Her heart's with more murder, and that Salenti wants peace. What a jerk he is. How dare he? And he actually asks people to support OccupyPeace.us to stop the world's slaughter going on. So again, Assange and I are on the same page in our disgust for Hillary Clinton, and he promises to launch an October surprise that could really derail her. Again, never in modern history of the United States have we seen two of the most untrustworthy and highly disliked candidates. Never in American history. And this isn't, a value judgment. This is what the polls say. You look at the numbers. So this election, even though 6 weeks to go to until Election Day, and again, at this date, whoever wins, we lose if it stays the same. And it looks like it will. There's really nobody there. It's, you know, again, you know, Jill Stein and this other guy, you know, libertarian, and they're not gonna get the votes. They're gonna make any difference. So that's it on that front. Going on to the war front, that keeps heating up as well. Again, the propaganda in the United States is just, it's off the charts. You look what happened. They had a tentative peace agreement with Russia and Syria and the United States and its coalition of the killing, Saudis. By the way, Obama's sold more weapons to Saudi Arabia than any other American president. And the Saudi airstrikes continue to kill innocent civilians throughout Yemen. And there's no outrage at all coming from the media. So going back to the United States derailing that agreement, what they did was the United States bombed the Syrian military base, killing 83 Syrian soldiers and wounding a few hundred, saying it was a mistake. And of course, everybody knows where everybody is basically over there. You know, it's not a real big country. I think it's like the size of Missouri or someplace. And then the aid convoy was blown up and they blamed it on Russia. This is right after the United States launches this deadly attack, breaking the ceasefire. This aid convoy gets blown up and they blame it on Russia with absolutely no proof, just like there's no proof that Russia, you know, hacked the Democratic National Committee's emails. Yes, the best thing they have to do so they could show that Bernie Sanders was shafted. I'm sure that's right on the top of their priority list. But again, no proof, but you never do. Hey, read my lips, no new taxes. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Syria is using chemical weapons. Never any proof, always actions. Nothing. So again, going back to the war talk, heating up. The Pentagon was against, from all reports, that ceasefire. And this guy, this psychopath, who's a defense secretary, Ashton Carter, he delivered a speech. Ready? This is what he used it. He uses the quote. This is what he calls them, to missileers. Missileers. At the Air Force Global Strike Command base in South Dakota. This is yesterday. Defending the modernization of the U.S. nuclear arsenal. And used it as a threat. Now remember, your liar in chief that people believed in Obama, when he was candidate Obama, he was going to cut back on the nuclear move. Well, estimates are now $1 trillion out of the U.S. economy to upgrade it. And Carter's speech was to champion the Pentagon's $350 billion plan to rebuild the nuclear triad of strategic bombers, missiles, and submarines. Isn't that great, huh? Yep. Each one of these, you know, the United States, by the way, accused Syria and Russia of barbaric acts and bombing of Aleppo. Can you imagine the United, that's the term they use, barbaric. Oh, yeah. Hey, that Nagasaki, that was a nice clean one. Huh? That wasn't barbaric. Hiroshima, come on. Dresden, forget about it. Hey, how about Iraq? Over a million dead, destroyed the nation. Afghanistan, Libya. How about the United States bombing Assyria? How about barbaric act? How about Obama killing over 4,000 innocent people, according to human rights reports, with his drone strikes? Is that barbarism? No, it's exceptionalism. Yes, the United States could do whatever it likes. It's exceptional. So, this Ashton Carter, or Dr. Strangelove, he's talking about this nuclear weapons being, quote, the bedrock of security. You ready for this? That has, quote, enabled millions and millions to get up in the morning, to go to school, to go to work, to live their lives, to dream their dreams, and to give their children a better future. Where are the guys with the white jackets putting him on this guy and bringing him into an insane asylum? Where are they? This guy's out of his mind. Hey, how about that other lowlife? That colon Powell, and you know what passes through the colon and comes out crap. That colon Powell held up his little vial of nothing and sold us the Iraq War. Another disgusting human being. Another low life of an individual who then on emails that were hacked called Dick Cheney an idiot and Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary at the time during the Iraq buildup and during the Iraq War, both of them, idiots, but yet he sold and they sold us wars. Idiots, 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 idiots. Idiots sold us war, and the people don't have the courage to call these people out. They're idiots, and this guy's a psychopath. And Obama's building the nuclear arsenal even bigger. Hey, but it's the bedrock of security that has enabled millions and millions to get up in the morning to go to school, to go to work, to live their lives, to dream their dreams, and to give their children a better future. Hey, how's it going at work, huh? How's your job? Paying you a lot? Advancement? Climbing up that corporate ladder, eh? What ladder? There's no ladder. You're working at Walmart. How about Staples? Been to Home Goods lately? Maybe Home Depot. Where's Lowe's? Took all the little hardware stores away from us? Man, maybe you're working at CVS, Walgreens, or one of the others out there. Yeah. Dwayne Reed. What happened to all those locally owned drugstores? What happened to all the entrepreneurial opportunities? We won't talk about that. No. We'll talk about more nuclear war. We'll talk about Trump's on how, I beat the tax system. Well, you stupid little people have to pay. How I get tax breaks from all those crooked criminals that they call politicians in New York City, along with what my father did too, so we could become multimillionaires and not pay the people the money they deserve after they finish the contract work for us, because they didn't finish our expectations. Lowlives, scum. Is it representative of the American people? You decide. Ashton Carter. In today's security environment, he said, one that's dramatically different from the last generation, and certainly the generations before that, we face a nuclear landscape that continues to pose challenges, that continues to evolve in some ways less predictably than during the Cold War, even though many around the world and even some of the United States are stuck in the Cold War thinking. Stuck in the Cold War thinking? NATO's sending 4,000 combat troops to Poland and the Baltic states and putting missile systems aimed at Russia? Cold War? Not a penny for peace. Not a penny for peace. Here's this little lowlife of a disgusting human being saying, quote, what's going on now in Syria is tragic, disgraceful, preventable. Yeah, he's right. Assad has to go. Isn't that disgraceful and preventable? Isn't it disgraceful and preventable that we, the people of the United States, are bombing the people over there? Now blame it on Russia. United States invading a foreign nation without Congress taking them to war. Russia and the Syrian regime bear responsibility for the violence, he said, particularly against civilians. Russia was invited there by the Assad government. The United States, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, France, England were not. They're invading a foreign country. Hillary Clinton, Assad has to go. The hypocrisy in this nation is disgusting. Again, go back to September 21st. International Day of Peace, not a peep from the prostitutes. Instead, they love to promote war. More war. More war. Do you ever see a picture of this guy, Ashton? Do you ever see him? A nothing of a man. I would not call him a man. I would call him out face to face. What a slimy individual he is for selling so much hate and creating so much bloodshed. But hey, roll out the red carpet for him. That's right. So, there we have it. Presidential reality show. What's really going on in the economy? I'm not making these things up. I read to you what the World Trade Organization said. I read to you what Deutsche Bank is going through in Commerce Bank. I read to you the IMF report. I read to you what Draghi said. Again, this is despite stealing the money of the Europeans with bringing 80 billion euros a month of buying up corporate bonds and government bonds. This is not capitalism, it's fascism. It's the merger of state and corporate powers, and you see the fascists in front of you. By their deeds you shall know them. One murderous comment and one murderer after another. Occupy peace? What's wrong with you, Salenti? You know what I get to? I get emails from me. Oh, you know the word occupy peace isn't a good word. You know, because the Occupy Wall Street. Stop. And stop with this nonsense that, well, people don't support peace because there's no profit in it. What are you working for, Lockheed or Boeing? General Electric? Raytheon? Your arms manufacturers? What is your having to do support peace having to do with making money on war? You're not supporting peace because you don't have the courage to do it, and you're too damn cheap to part with a dime. We had Gary Null here. Gary Null came here. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Reagan's former assistant treasury secretary, Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan, a brave woman who camped out in front of George Bush's Texas joint for months in protest of the war and the death of his son in Iraq. Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, a renowned Buddhist practitioner. We put our money where our mouth is. Yet everyone's silent on peace as the war hawks beat the drums louder and louder. OccupyPeace.us or Occupy War. Occupy Hatred. Presidential reality show is a perfect example of how low America has sunk. It's a reflection of society. Listen to the comments. It was Trump doing coke? He was sniffing so much. Yeah. Well, the water we drank. So anyway, there we are. Closing out another week of trends this week. Watch the markets closely. Watch for an October surprise in the presidential election. Watch for an October surprise in the markets. Watch for more war. Remember, I've said it over and over again. Terrorist strikes, something happening big before this election. We saw a prelude to that in New York recently. So this is Gerald Celente, and this is Trends This Week. And remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Sitte donja bisha olo ideva, ide vene sempre pakalare dal manene.